if you would, to 2 Timothy 1:7. I'll be quick this morning. That's the first time my name has ever been in the same sentence with Jesus, the Pope, and me. I hope you got that recorded, Jeff. I'm going to take it home and play it over when my wife gets upset at me. I'm going to play that over, over, and over. Father, thank you today for your love, your kindness, your grace that you've already showed to us. I pray, Lord, that you'll be honored and glorified in this house, in everything we do and in everything we say. In Jesus' name, I pray. And everybody said amen. There used to be a television program on years ago. And I don't know if it's still on some reruns. It may be called The Fear Factor. My wife and I would watch that sometimes. And it would draw people in. It would get people to do different acts and different things. And it would have a large monetary prize at the end of it. And Patty and I would watch that. And sometimes we would get enthralled in it until, you know, they had to get into a box where they let snakes out or let spiders crawl. Man, I'm out of that. I was going to show some pics of some of that, but I thought, well, that'd just wreck your day completely. But for the people that made it through it, the guy stood up and this is what he said. He said, evidently, fear is not a factor for you. And fear is a very incapacitating force. Fear can stop the strongest person right in their tracks. A couple of years ago, our family went on a vacation together and we went down. It was, I said earlier in the early service, it was Naples, but we were on Marco Island in Florida. And one morning I got up and I came down minding my own business, enjoying the sunshine, which I don't know if we're going to see any this year or not in Western New York. But Ben comes running up to me in his gregarious way that he can and that he does. He said, hey, Dad, you want to go parasailing today? And I'm like, I don't know. Come on, Dad, let's go. My boys, you know, they're both in the sales business and they're not, you think I'm not good at taking no for an answer. They're even worse. And Dad, come on. I said, well, how much is it going to be, Ben? It's the dad. And he said, don't worry about it. I've got it covered. Just come on. And I'm thinking, well, I've never done this before. And, you know, I'm the big proponent. If you always do what you've always done, you always get what you always got. Sometimes you got to step out and do something you never did to get something you never got. I said, okay. Well, I go down, get on the boat. And I'm looking at this boat. I'm looking at the rope. And I said, I'm not 100 pounds soaking wet, you know, looking at me. I'm not as much as I was, but I still am 200 and none of your business pounds. He hooks me up to this harness, and I said, are you sure this thing will carry? He says, oh, we've had guys on here that weigh 700 pounds. And I said, well, I'm way under that. I said, okay, will I be able to tell you when I'm done? He goes, oh, no, don't worry about this. And when you get up there, you can just turn around, look all around. You can enjoy yourself. So I said, okay. So we got on it. And I'm on the boat, and this thing is on a winch, and it's letting me go and go, and it's letting me go, and I'm gone 700 feet up into the sky. And I am so afraid that I am praying to Jesus in a tongue and in a voice like I never had. I'm hearing the rope creak. And if you can see above where my hands are, there's a little spindly little hardware. If I get out of this thing, I'm going to come down, I'm going to slap my son until he can't talk. I'm praying and then I'm repenting for everything I've ever done, what I'm doing, what I'm going to do. God, if you get me out. And then as I'm hearing it creak, I knew it was going to break loose. And then I'm thinking maybe that little umbrella that they have over me, I'll float down. But I know I'm going to die, and I'm praying, and finally, I'm just asking. I'm not turning around. I've just got my hand. I'm hanging on to that thing. Dear Jesus, please forgive me. I'm so sorry the way I spoke to my wife last week. Oh, God, help me, Lord. I love my kids, and I love everybody in the church. Yes, I do, Lord. Amen. And so all of a sudden, the thing came in, and I got on that boat. I am so afraid. And Ben is there with my grandson, Gabriel.
Not
his son, my grandson. And they get out. I said, you sure you want to take him? Oh, yeah. And Ben's got his phone with him. And they're going up in the air. And he's FaceTiming people at work 700 feet in the air. While I am so afraid, I'm still shaking. Then, so I get on the shore after it's all done and walking up, and I said to Ryan, how come you didn't go? He goes, oh, Dad. He goes, just Google that. People die all the time from that. I'm like, God, fear is a factor for me. And the dictionary defines fear as a distressing emotion aroused by impending danger, evil, pain. And whether the threat is real or imagined, an unpleasant and often a strong emotion follows and is caused by the anticipation or the awareness of danger. And fear is an emotion. And emotions can be a blessing or they can be a curse to us. And God gave us emotions to enable us, but not to cripple us. Emotions are not to have dominion over us. And fear is aroused in our lives by a real threat or an imagined threat. And in cases where the threat is real, fear must be channeled and it must be completely controlled. And every day, the enemy, he loves to cause people to fear, and he thrives on it when you and I have this fear that's captivating us and taking our lives over. And the Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:7 that God has not given you and I the spirit of fear. He has not put that on you that causes you day in and day out to fear about what your tomorrow will be. But listen to what the Bible says. But he's given you a spirit of power and love and of a sound mind. Come on, say amen to that today. And the Good News Translation says it this way. It says, for the spirit that God has given us does not make us timid. Instead, his spirit fills us with his power, his love, and sound control. Now, I love this scripture in the New Testament in Mark chapter 4 where the disciples are with Jesus in the boat. And the Bible says in Mark 4:35, the day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let's go to the other side. And my friends today, I want to tell you that any time that God is going to take you to another dimension, take you to another place, take you to another level, there will always be an obstacle that is standing in front of you. The Bible says, let's go to the other side. And leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. And there were also other boats with him. Verse 37 says, a furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so it was nearly swamped. And Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. And the disciples woke him and said to him, teacher, don't you even care that we drown? He got up, he rebuked the wind and the waves. He said, quiet, be still. And the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? And then in verse 41, it says they were terrified, just like I was when I got off that stinking parasail. And they asked each other, who is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? I just want to talk to you just for a couple moments about fearing, because fear and having fear in our lives will have a tendency to have a real grip on us if we don't allow the power of Jesus to have control over us. The Bible says that they were fearful of the storm, but in actuality, the storm was not their problem, but it was the boat that they were in allowing the storm to come in to their boat. You see, a boat is designed to flow, but when the storm gets inside of the boat, it will cause what is supposed to be on top of the storm to sink to the bottom. And this is just the way that fear comes into our lives. And this is just the way that our lives can be. That sometimes when we're in the middle of a storm, we let the elements of the storm get inside of us. We let the fear get inside of us. We let it take over our thoughts. It becomes a part of our speech, our attitude. And when things get inside of us, that's when you and I begin to sink. But when you and I stay above the storm and above the fear in our lives, when we refuse to let what's on the outside come inside of us, that is when, my friends, we live. Come on today. And you can go through the storm in your life. If you make a decision in your life, I will not let that storm get inside of me. You and I only control what comes into us. And the devil wants to take your life. Make no qualms about it. He wants your life. And when you and I talk about what is going bad in our lives and allow that storm to come into us, we begin to slowly and steadily think. And I'm not just talking to you out of a book today. I know from whence I speak. I have gone through storms in my life, and I have taken on the fear in my life. I thought I was out. And the only thing that got me out of it was a life rope from Jesus himself to pull me out of it. And from that day forth, I made it my mission not to let the storm get into me. So how do I keep fear and the storm out of my life? I'm just going to give you a couple thoughts here. Number one, refuse to live your life with suspicion and resentment. Do you know the suspicion puts your wildest imaginations in motion, and resentment will eat at you just like a cancer? It has been said that jealousy is as cruel as the grave, and suspicion will breed jealousy. And resentment spawns hatred, which the Bible calls murder. But the scripture says in Ephesians 4, Paul says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away with you with malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, listen, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ has forgiven you. You got to put it out. You can't let it become a part of you. Psalm 91:3 says, surely God will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. The Hebrew word for that fowler there means yakush. It means a bait layer. And don't take the bait. The fowler, the enemy, the snare is always there to try to get you, to pull it inside of you, and to let fear have domination over your life. Number two, refuse to live in the past and be preoccupied with mistakes and failures. And God woke me up the second time in the middle of the night, and he told me to tell someone, move on and embrace the life that God has called you to. Move on. It may be difficult to start, but if God is before us, who can be against us? Oh, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor death, even height in a parasail, nor death, nor any other created thing will keep me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. The Bible says if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. Paul said to forget the things which are behind and press on to what is ahead. Number three, refuse to waste time, listen, and energy on fighting conditions over which you have absolutely no control. Come on, people. We involve ourselves. We get trapped in the peripheral of distractions that may have the tendency to consume us to the point that it completely overcomes us. And sometimes we take things on in our lives that we should not take on. We should not get involved in. Be careful of what comes across your life on a day in and day out basis. James says, submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Commit. Psalm 37:5 says, your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he'll bring it to pass. Don't get caught up in the everyday stuff. Number four, determine to stay in the work of Jesus even when you don't feel like it. And that's the first thing the enemy will try to snatch is your destiny. And I loved it last night. You know, I get a text on Friday night after the missions dinner, which was awesome. And I get the text that Dorothy had called. And Dorothy Beach called, and Jim Beach was taken to the hospital in the ambulance. Please pray for him. Patty and I grabbed hands, held hands, began to pray for him. God, I just pray, whatever it is, you'll go before him, you'll heal his body. Let me tell you, prayer will change your life. You got to pray. My brothers and sisters, don't waste your time on grumbling. Spend your time on your knees praying. The enemy wants to isolate you. and pollute you and keep you from your destiny. And we begin to pray for him. And last night I went up late afternoon, early evening. I went up to the hospital to see him. I heard he's in the ICU. They're doing all kinds of tests on him. God only knows what's going on. And I pull into the hospital. I'm going up and I see a truck pull by. And I think, that's Dorothy. And I look, yeah, that's Dorothy and Jim. I run across the parking lot. Hey! They pull back in and go, well, hey, what's going on, Jim? He looked like he had a dress on in there. Jimmy, are you in here? I got to watch how I talk. Yeah, I know it's his gown. It looked like a dress to me. Thank you for clarifying that. He'll appreciate his daughter standing up for him. But anyways, I said, what happened? Well, they did all kinds of tests. Dorothy, they're telling me how it led up to that. And if you know Jim, Jim's a great expositor. He will tell you every moment of every minute of his life up to that. I said, just tell me what happened. What's going on right now? Dorothy said, well, maybe there's something else wrong, but mainly they said they think he ate too much. What a way to go. I just was thinking there just for a minute there. I called up my wife. She said, honey, they're on their way. Oh, she's great. And I told her that. She goes, hey, you remember what you prayed on Friday night? I go, no. What did I pray? And then when she said it, when I was praying, I said, Lord, even if you can, just make it so he goes home and they just tell him maybe he ate too much. Let me tell you something. He'll turn your mess around. I don't care what you're involved in or what you're going through today, but you determined to stay in the work that Jesus has called you to. And you know what Dorothy said to me? She's sitting in the truck, and she begins to tear come down her face. She said, I called Larry Toll, and he's going to drive the bus for the next 3 weeks. I said, Dorothy, don't even worry about that. She says, I worry about that. I want to make sure those people, I love them, that they get to church. My God. I wanted to get on my knees right there and the Lord forgive me for every bad thing I've ever said about people in my life. Here she is taking her husband home from the hospital and she's more worried about the ministry that God has called her to. Come on, that's a soldier right there. Number 5, refuse to engage in self-pity when life gets tough. When calamity repeatedly came to Job, the man of patience, this is what he said, what? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil as well? Let me tell you, we live in a fallen world where there's troubles and tribulation and hurt and pain. And you can't get around it. It's going to come to you at one moment or another in your life. Charles Spurgeon says, many men owe their grandeur of their lives to their tremendous difficulties. And no one likes it. But it's in the moment when you're in pain and hurt that you stay off the self-pity train and you stand in faith, trusting in the hand of Jesus to bring you through. John 10:10, that was a poor applause for Jesus too. Give God a good praise, will you? John 10:10 says the thief only comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but not Jesus. He's come to bring you life and bring it more abundantly. Peter says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around as a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. Don't give him a chance. Don't give him any room in your life. Number 6, have an ongoing cultivation of godly virtues in your life. I run into so many people that are going through things that are self-inflicted. Do you know what I mean? Good habits are made consistently by what's doing right over and over again. And the world and you need to incorporate that into our lives. Honor is doing the right thing over and over again. Number 7, establish reasonable goals and realistic expectations. You're going to keep fear out of your life. If you don't have a vision, you will perish. Paul said in Philippians 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. 1 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place we go. I got to have a goal. I got to have a vision. I have to have a dream. And when I do, and when I engage in that, God sets me free from all of the things that would hurt me and hinder me. Fear becomes minimized, and my vision becomes strengthened. And last, stop saying how big your storm is, and start acknowledging how big your God is. Oh my goodness, come on today. You can take all the water in your life. You can take on all the storm and all the fear in your life, and you can let it just weigh you down and hold you down. But you need to say what David said in Psalm 23. The Lord, he is my shepherd. Come on today. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. He leads me beside the still waters. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I do walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou, oh my God, he is with me. I'm telling you, folks, he's been with me in the darkest, darkest of nights. Thou art with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. And if you look behind you, surely goodness and mercy are following me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of my God forever. Amen. Come on, give him some glory in this house. Fear. Close your eyes, bow your head. Fear will not have dominion over our lives. We will rise above. We will overcome. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I know that God is speaking and pulling on someone's heart today. You've been in a battle, and the enemy has painted the worst of the worst pictures. Can I just tell you from experience that even if you go through them, you're not alone. He'll be with you. And he'll strengthen you. He'll uphold you. Surely, goodness and mercy are following you all the days of your life. Hallelujah, Lord. You can't experience any of that without a relationship with Jesus Christ. And you need him in your life. If you've never given your life to him, today is the day. You need to make that decision in your life. And nobody can make that for you. This is between you and the Lord. When you come to him, you come only and only you alone. Let every man work out his own salvation. You need him in your life. I'm going to ask you today. I'm going to pray at the end. If I'm speaking to you, if you've never given your heart to Christ, you need to do that. Secondly, if fear has been just pummeling you to the ground, I'm going to pray for you right where you're at. I'm not going to ask anyone to move. I'm going to have my prayer folk come down, though, as I close. Benjamin, I want you to come up and close in prayer for me. Before you leave, if you need somebody just to stand with you and pray over you, these folks will do it. If you give your heart to Christ today, you need to tell them. If you're walking through a battle in your life of fear and challenges and trouble and hurt, Jesus is your answer today. I'm going to pray for those of you that need Jesus. And it's a simple prayer, and I want you to pray it. In fact, I want the whole house to pray it. I just want you to say this after me. Repeat after me. Everyone say this. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sin. Not just part, all of them. Come on, say it. All of them. because I have sinned. You said that if I'd confess my sin, you're faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. That you would come into my life and save me. And today, Lord, I ask you, be my Lord. Forgive me of my sin. Be my Savior and my Lord. I ask you to rule my life. From this day forward, I'm not my own. You have bought me with a price, your blood. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, Father, I pray for those who have not only prayed that prayer, but I pray for those who are struggling in the area of fear in their life, that it will no longer have any domination over them. But from this moment forward, their lives will be free. Whom the Son sets free, he is free indeed. Bless your people now, I ask in Jesus' name. Come on, everybody said amen. If you gave your heart to Christ, I want you to come down and tell somebody about it. If you're struggling in the area of fear, I want you to come down. These folks are going to pray for you and believe God with you. Do you love God today with all your heart? Come on. Do you love him? Benjamin.